your move to New Orleans?
I had met a friend from New Orleans when I was in Dubrovnik. I was traveling through Yugoslavia, and he and I became good friends, and we traveled together for about a year, and then I went to visit him. My grandfather also lived in New Orleans for many years. It was kind of a natural move to come here and see family and see my friends.
So do you remember where you played your first show in New Orleans, your first gig?
It was Tipitina's uptown, opening for Earl King.
Wow, nice.
I was not aware of who Earl King was. I wasn't familiar with New Orleans music. So in retrospect, it's actually a bigger thing than it was at the time. But it was great. I was embraced and welcomed with open arms by the whole community from day one.
What do you love most about NOLA?
What do I love the most? The way we all love New Orleans together.
There really is that sort of communal idea that everybody who's there loves it, you know?
Yeah. I think that's what I love the most.
What inspires your lyrics?
I think probably the search for a soulful lyric is what inspires me to write. The quest to say something beautiful. That's an inspiring thing, to have that wanderlust into the art of music and lyric.
You've been able to balance so many different sides of your skills. Your playing is amazing, man. You blaze on guitar. Like, you can rip it up, and then combining it with your like soulful side, it really shows that you have so many different skills.
Thank you very much.
The thing I love about your new album, too, is you really show off every side of your skills.
Oh, thanks. Yeah, I think this is a pretty complete experience for me. I worked on every aspect of it, production to song choice, and letting the co-producer's input take over, much as letting my guitar be relaxed and speak for itself, and arrangement. So I worked on every aspect, so I'm glad that it was noted.
The album has a very live feel to it. Did you guys try to cut tracks as live as possible?
Yeah, I think it's something that's fairly important for someone like myself, is to keep it explosive like that. It's what I do best, is that impulsive stream of consciousness live experience. Even when I do arrangements, I try to make them loose and live feel.
It was just three of you in there. It does have that really organic live sound to it. It seems to be a very New Orleans thing, too, is really have to bring it live, you know?
Yeah, that's very New Orleans. You're definitely right on that. That's, people play for the moment and they're good at it, so you got to bring your A game every time.
Do you love touring other places and being able to bring NOLA playing heat to people?
Yeah, I enjoy it. It's recognizable, and people seem to know that it's a New Orleans experience. That's fun. Recognize that way.
Everybody brings it, and like, if you don't bring it, you're not going to be playing very long.
Very true.
You feel that sort of pressure keeps you striving for new ideas?
Yeah, it keeps me alert, and it keeps me, again, it's a combination, you know. I feel like I'm constantly looking and searching for this adventure, musically and stuff, poetically and artistically. I think the more you do that, the more satisfying it is. Now, that's not something that I always choose to do. It's just something that happens. Every once in a while, you got to choose to go searching. I think it goes hand in hand with the songwriting. It's the same thing with the playing. If you want to go out there and figure out what's going on, because, you know, 12 notes, it can end up be stifling and limiting, especially after, you know, 40, 50 years after the birth of rock and roll, and 60, 80 years after bebop. Like, we're still trying our best to be original, but it's getting harder and harder to be original and find new ways of doing it. Since there's been dozens of absolute masters through history that have really turned history and musical history around and changed direction of it. That's always the quest. Can I be one that changes everything? Not that I will be aware of that, but you know what I'm trying to say.
Subconsciously, that's what you're going for.
Yes, it definitely, you know, what inspired me as a kid and still inspires me, that's what I'm striving to be. The experience I had, that's what I want to relay and convey to other people, too.
How old were you when you first started playing guitar?
I think I was around 8. Something like that. Got a nylon string, and I was messing around with that a little bit. And then at 12, I bought my own steel string, like one of those kind of Martin Cop acoustic steel string guitars, and started to compose songs more. So,
you remember what you wrote your first song about?
It's got to be about loneliness and not being loved. You know that.
right, exactly. The only answer on that, man. The blues, that's what it's all about, man.
Yeah, man. Every note ever played is about nobody understands me.
you have a favorite gig you played in NOLA?
Don't actually have a favorite gig. Sometimes it's not just the music, you know what I mean? It's a whole thing. It can be a whole experience of events. Certain friends were there or certain things happened. We used to have these private parties called the Purple Haze Explosion that we did New Year's Eve. Me and my early manager, this is late 80s, early 90s, stuff like that. And they were unique in the sense that I was, you know, in my early 20s, and it was really fresh. But to be really honest, I try to make every gig like the most special gig I've ever had. I mean, and it doesn't always get even close, but that's what you try for. I mean, you really want it to be this beautiful, beautiful, enlightening experience where you can somehow transcend your own ego and just play this awesome stuff that the audience, the band, myself, the crew, everybody, it's just divine. I mean, that's where you want to go. And I don't know what else there is. I mean, that's got to be the purpose somehow.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? People talk about it's to pick up chicks and stuff. I never bought that line. I think that's not what it's all about. Music is so divine, man. It's just fantastic experience, and then you pick up the chicks.
Right. Do you have a favorite place to play in NOLA?
No, it would be unfair to say one or the other, you know what I mean?
Sure, yeah.
I would say they're all beautiful.
Do you have any NOLA folks you haven't worked with that you'd like to work with?
I'd like to work with Branford Marsalis sometime. Mm-hmm. I haven't worked with him. I have worked with Donald Harrison, but I'd like to do a more in-depth project with him. He and I have talked about it, but that might actually sit pretty high up there on the list.
Mm-hmm.
Try to write compositions that we could do somehow together. That would be really cool. If Earl was alive now, I would love to write with Earl. Otherwise, I've worked with most of the cats, you know, the big ones, and they are amazing. The way we keep our lineage alive is what it's all about. That's what most places are missing. Mm-hmm. Only folk music, traditional folk music, carries it down. And you know what I mean? Like we do here. That I don't see that anywhere else. You don't have people carrying a lineage down in L.A., New York. I guess the jazz world used to do that in New York City when it begun, you know, leading up to the whole bebop and Blue Note era. But otherwise, because New Orleans still does it. I played with all the tri jazz guys, cut records with them, and we compose for each other, and we help each other out all the way down. Brass bands, funk, the Meters, Alan Tucson. You know, Mac is involved in everything. He's now like one of the older mentors for all of us, and I'm working with young cats and carrying on this really remarkable torch.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
The drummers, like Stanton, has such in-depth knowledge that he's received from studying and also being part with Johnny Vidakovich and Zigaboo, going all the way back to Joe Johnson up in New York to Earl Palmer and all these guys. It's a remarkable thing, and you can't get that anywhere else. I'm sure somewhere in Africa and Mali, and they have a similar thing, maybe in the Middle East too. In Pakistan, I know the whole tradition of the Nusrat Fateh Ali Khan and those guys, but otherwise, I think we're it down here.
Even if you look at like trad jazz guys, it's not music that's in a museum. It's music that's like breathing and living, and it's like out there, you know. And like,
yeah. I mean, it's incredible, right?
Yeah, it's amazing. The fact that, like, you know, it's Tuesday and Rebirth of the Maple Leaf, and that's what's going to happen. There's no bullshit. That's what's going down. Like, nothing's going to stop that.
No, that's a great way to put it. Nothing's going to stop that. That's exactly what it's all about. Nothing's going to stop it.
It's amazing the way the scene in NOLA takes new people in. You became a part of it, and now, you know, you're teaching other people, you become part of the link.
Yeah, it's a remarkable thing. It really is. It's a world organization here. Nobody is even thinking in terms of race or countries or states or anything. It's being carried on. You find your place, and then you carry it on.
Uh-huh.
Do your thing according to your DNA and how you perceive it, this shit, you know? And
yeah.
You do it. You just do it. Yeah, it's fantastic.
You tour all the time. It's good that, like, you're out there, like, spreading the word.
Yeah, it's good. And we got the big school. I was talking to somebody on this last run we did too, because of Tulane and, you know, Loyola, but especially Tulane being a reputable school here.
Mm-hmm.
You have these people that come down here, and basically through the kids for decades now, they've helped spread the word of this city. It's not just coming down here and liking it, liking to party and the brothels back in the days and all that stuff, and cotton industry and slavery and all that. Now it's become also the education system of Tulane, and these kids, and when they move back to wherever or wherever they get a job, but they always carry New Orleans in their hearts, the 4 years they spend down here, sometimes a little longer. And that creates an audience and a fan base for New Orleans musicians. Even if they haven't heard of the band, go out and check it out because they're from New Orleans.
No matter where you go, what you do, you're always carrying it around.
Yeah, you're still part of New Orleans. It's still in you, and you are also something we still need. New Orleans is in everybody that's lived here or comes through here. Mm-hmm. If you're here for a weekend, you're a New Orleanian. That's the remarkable thing about the city. It is made up out of everybody that's here or has been here. I've never been to a place like that, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe, no, it's not the same. I was thinking Paris or anything, but it's not the same. It's not the same at all.
Uh-huh.
It's a place to visit. New Orleans is a place that lives with you forever.
It's not like you just visit it and you're done.
No, it doesn't do that. I know what it is with this little tramp down here, but you wicked.
Right, yeah, exactly, man. Who've been some of the favorite people to work with?
There's been a lot. On top of the list, it's a mentor to me. He played on the very first gig I had, and he's been with me forever. My first record I made in 89 down here.
Mm-hmm.
That's George Porter. I played with him 3 days ago up in Pennsylvania. He's just like that guy. I mean, John Vidakovich is like that for a lot of drummers. He's like a guy that they go and have coffee with and hang out with. But George has made a serious impact in so many ways for me. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And I think he's just invaluable to the city. But outside that, it's just everybody put together. They're all really important. But he jumps out, I got to say. He was there in the beginning and has always been with me and helped me out whenever I could. And we've always played. He's always treated me like a complete equal from day one. That's been the biggest lesson I could ever learn from a musical mentor, I think.